Okay, so this week, I think for at least a few days of Parsha, if not every day of Parsha, I'm going to be sharing thoughts from Rabbi Lamb's drashot on Balotcha. Rabbi Norman Lamb, who was the longtime president of and Rosh Hashiva, Rosh HaYeshiva of YU, modern Orthodoxy incarnate. Is that a good... What? Centrist Orthodox, if that is... it's probably a fair description. He basically, you know, was the greatest champion of the... Guys. Of the philosophy of modern Orthodoxy. So he passed away yesterday afternoon. So we'll dedicate the Shurim to his in his memory. It was 92. Okay, so almost all of his drashot are available online. Is it all in the Lamb archive? You know the YU website, like backwards and forwards.
I don't know if they're all, but all of that were done in that center.
In the Jewish center, yeah. So anyway, so many of his drashot, I don't know if all of them are available on the YU website. Some of them have been published in safer form, but like you can see his original with like his underlines and written off on a typewriter and like his little notes. So I do actually, I do get like hana'ah from reading the originals. So I picked a few of the drashot to discuss this week. So one of them is a drasha that he called Upstream. And he was commenting on the very, very strange, what Chazal considers sefer in and of itself in Chumash. That really, according to Chazal, there in a certain sense there are not five Chumashim, but there are seven, because we have two psukim that make up an entire book in the double nuns, right? Vahibin Saharon is bracketed by the double nuns. So Rabbi Lamb gave a drasha on the double nuns. And what he says is as follows. So he says that if you look in the Midrash HaNe'elam, and this is also found, I heard a similar idea from Rav Shechter, but not quoted in the Midrash HaNe'elam, but quoting the Yalkut Ruveni, which Yalkut Ruveni is quite strange. The Midrash HaPela of Yalkut Ruveni, it's very, very odd. But Rabbi Lamb quotes it here from the Midrash HaNe'elam, where he notes that the Midrash HaNe'elam says, what does it mean that we have these two, that these double nuns that bracket Vayihiben So Aharon? So it has several cryptic comments. And it writes, Kvodo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamash Vehem Ikaro shel Olam. This is the glory of God Himself, and they are the essence of the world, or the very glory of God and the foundation of the world. And then he says, well, what do they represent? So he says, Nun can mean, in Aramaic, fish. And therefore, these Nuns are representing Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael are symbolized by fish, as we see in which bracha? Come on, guys.
Wait.
I was just trying to figure out what you meant by bracha. The Yidgula?
Yeah, but
that's
not what I meant. I thought you meant like a bracha,
as in
like a bracha, like a bracha.
No. Like a bracha. When Yaakov blesses them, so he calls them like fish. And the Midrash continues.
Specifically when Asher and Ephraim.
Hello. And the Midrash continues that... Ovdei Avodah Zarah are, I will, to quote Rabbi Lamb, the Almighty excluded idol worshippers from the fraternity of these two Nunin. And that is why the pagans always bear enmity towards Israel. But finally, Uve'elu Nunin Atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lifrok Lehu Yisrael Al Yedei Mashiach. The Almighty will redeem Israel and bring the Messiah by virtue of these two Nunin, the inverted Hebrew letters Nun. So Rabbi Lamb says, what is this pshat? What is the significance of this Nunim that will bring the Geula, that represent Klal Yisrael? Rabbi Lamb is a master darshan, so you don't have to think that this is pshat. It may be pshat in the Midrash HaNe'elam, which is already, you know, obviously a drasha.
Pshat in the Midrash.
Well, as Rabbi Bednarz once said in a wonderful turn of phrase, often a drash on a drash is omek pshuto shel mikra, right? So what he argues is as follows, that the nunin hafuchin, that if the letter nun means fish, so then the nunin hafuchin symbolize fish that are willing to swim upstream against the tide, against the currents and tendencies of their surroundings. It is this remarkable quality which characterizes the true Jew and distinguishes him from the pagan. The authentic Jew must be able to dissent, to keep apart, to be unpopular, if necessary to oppose the tide, to swim upstream. A man who cannot swim upstream cannot affirm his own independent judgment against the mob. He neither respects himself nor loves himself. And one who does not love himself cannot love others. And our Torah commands us, love thy neighbor as thyself, not hate thy neighbor as thyself. The upstream tradition of Judaism means that we must dare to be different. It means that when religious observance is frowned upon, we must frown right back and follow the dictates of our conscience and the teachings of the halakha. It means that when religion is popular, but for the wrong reasons, such as social and aesthetic reasons, we must not hesitate to say so openly and urge people to practice their religion for the proper motives. When others, for instance, consider it good style to indulge in uninhibited and unrestrained lavishness, whether in the pagan ornateness of the funeral or the vulgar exhibitionism of the gala bar mitzvah, we must not fear to affirm our upstream mentality, to assert the delicacy of Judaism's democratic traditions. That's a word I know. That long word together did not. Its insistence upon its simplicity. This is the problem of typewriters, right? Like, if you miss a space, you're not going to go back for that. Its insistence upon simplicity and the emphasis upon the spiritual and the religious. Whenever we find society in violation of the sacred ideals of Judaism, we must become the nunin hafuchen, those who are willing to go upstream and not downstream. We must do so even if we are excoriated, even if the pagans bear us enmity because of it. The upstream tradition of Judaism also means to dare to be alone. The very heavy emphasis of the Midrash on the theological significance of the nunin, that they represent the very glory of God at the foundation of the world, shows that true religion, religious distinction, comes not when it is easy to be religious, but when loyalty is tested in the crucible of heroism. That is why profound religious thinkers and philosophers, from Professor Whitehead to Rabbi Soloveitchik, speak so often and so broodingly of loneliness as a major component of religious thought and experience. To be different, to go against the tide, often leaves men with a feeling of aloneness. But that is what makes man worthy and life worthwhile. And he continues in this theme. And Rabbi Lam's essential theme here is that the meaning of this midrash is that we can, right, we'll be zocha to Mashiach if we are willing to be different, even when it is difficult, right? To keep the Torah, even when it is against what is popular. And later on in the drasha, he says, this is what the Midrash meant when it said that God would bring the Messiah by virtue of the inverted nunin. That the Jewish vision of redemption is that we finally will be true to ourselves, that every nation will be itself and every individual himself or herself. The differentness of the state of Israel does not mean that it can have no diplomatic relations, no foreign aid, no exchange students. It does mean that involved with the world, it nonetheless must not surrender its own soul and abandon its own uniqueness. This then is the meaning for us of the inverted nunin. We must never swallow Western civilization whole. We must always stand something aside, a bit aside. Right? And this is, for Rabbi Lam, very important, because Rabbi Lam, as I said, was like the father of modern orthodoxy and believed in the value of integrating all the good that the world has to offer. But at the same time, Rabbi Lam said, but if we're going to be successful, we can't just swallow, you know, Western culture and say, well, everything is good, right? Philosophers said it, you know, it's in literature, it's in pop culture. We need to recognize that there's good and integrate it, but we also need to be willing to stand apart. And it's that combination that enables us to be unique. And I'll just finish with I won't go to the end of the drasha, but there's a few more sentences in Rabbi Lam. He says it means that we must confront all of modern culture, but not necessarily capitulate to it. We must face all the facts of rejecting all that is morally abominable, never succumbing to that which affronts our conscience as Jews and as humans. It means that Vayhi ben Saharon, the march of Judaism in Israel through history, must often be characterized by Nun Hafuchin, by going upstream, by opposing the tides of the time. So this is Rabbi Lam's drasha on the Nunin Hafuchin and the Midrash HaNe'alam, and the importance, even when we recognize the good that we can get from the world, to be willing to, when necessary, to stand apart and to go against the tide. Again, Rabbi Lam is a master darsha, and so it is always inspiring to read some of his stuff. Maybe, what do you think, Rabbi Sklar? Should we read the piece everyone's been quoting for them tomorrow on his anti-racism drasha in the 1960s? It's quite a powerful drasha. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. It's not Balotcha, but it might dafka work in the upstream theory that we did today. Okay, anyways, he's...